For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Paul Forsaken, as we pick up in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
That good thing which was committed unto you, that is the truth, the Word of God, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. For this you know, that all of they which are in Asia have turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Those in Asia had now turned their backs upon Paul. He was no longer able to be a strong influence there. They didn't have to fear him come in apostolic power to correct their false doctrines anymore, and they were becoming emboldened in their heresies and in the drawing of people after themselves. Paul names a couple of them. They've turned away from me. What a sad thing. Paul was really pretty much forsaken now. With the sentence of death upon him, even Demas, who had been a companion for so long, had forsaken him. Others had fled. Luke only was remaining with him there in Rome. But there was one faithful brother, Onesiphorus. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Paul was chained there in a dungeon in Rome. And Onesiphorus went to Rome and searched through dungeon after dungeon until he finally found Paul and there ministered to him and encouraged him. For when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and he found me. And the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, you know very well. So this Onesiphorus had been just a blessed man and had ministered to Paul while Paul was in Ephesus, and then came to Rome and searched until he found him and there ministered to him. Paul praised God's mercy and blessing upon him for it. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. You see, it is legalism that is threatening the church. This idea that you can work yourself into divine favor. So be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so this is how the gospel is spread. As Paul said, now you remember the things that I said and I was teaching among many of the brethren. Now you take these same things and commit them to faithful brethren who will be able to teach others. The discipling of men in the truths of God. Investing your lives in others. As we have grown older, we've sought to invest our lives into younger ministers. Sharing with them. Spending time with them, teaching them, committing to them the Word of God in order that they might then go out and give the same thing to faithful men who will then be able to go out and teach others. When we started our ministry here at Calvary Chapel, we met with a group of men and many times their wives 5 nights a week for 2 years, the first 2 years. 5 nights a week we gathered together, entrusting to these men teaching of the Word of God, studying several books, going through the entire Bible with him. After 2 years with these men, I said, all right, the time has come. You fellas start teaching your own home Bible studies. And so they started teaching their Bible studies in their homes. I would every week get calls from them. When they were going to have a Bible study that night, they'd have a list of questions that they'd go over before they went to their Bible study or had their Bible studies in their homes. After 2 years, many people who were saved in their Bible studies then started their own home Bible studies. And it was passed on and on and on from spiritual generation to spiritual generation. People who were saved in a Bible study began to teach a Bible study in which men were saved who went out and later on began to teach their own Bible studies. And so it goes on and on. It is, as it is passed, you teach faithful men who are able then to teach others. You disciple others so that they in turn can disciple others. And so the progression goes. Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're in a real battle, a tough battle. It's a battle of the eternal destiny of human souls. It's a fierce battle. The enemy is relentless. He attacks night and day. He never eases. The pressure is great. Endure hardness, Paul said, as a good soldier. Hang in there. And no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. And that's our problem. So often, as Jesus said in the last days, be careful, lest you at any time be overcharged with gluttony, surfeiting, or with drunkenness, or the cares of this life, so that the day of the coming of the Lord will catch you by surprise, catch you unaware. Jesus, in talking about how that the thorns grew up with the wheat, identifying the thorns, he said, the desire for riches, the cares of this life, and the desires of other things choked out the fruitfulness of the gospel within their lives. So the cares of this life can choke out the fruitfulness. No man who is in war, no man who has signed up for the army, gets all involved in the little mundane things of life. Hey, I'm in a battle, and I can't get bogged down with the cares of this life. My desire is that I might please him who has chosen me to be a soldier. You see, I have made a commitment under the commanding general that I will serve, that I will go into battle, that I am on call. Anytime he can give an order for me to move out, must be ready to go. I want to please him who has called me to be a soldier. That's the whole desire of my life, to please God who has called me into this warfare. Also, if any man strive for the masteries. Now, Paul was referring here to the Olympics and the wrestling competition within the Olympics. And the wrestling competition in those days was called striving for the masteries. Striving to master over another one, throw him out of the ring, pin him on his back. He who strives for the masteries is not crowned unless he strive lawfully. You see, the referee can blow the whistle on you and say, hey, that was not right, you know, you hit him after I called break. You're not crowned unless you strive lawfully. There are the rules by which you must wrestle. The husbandman that laboreth, the man who is out there in the field laboring, gets the first fruit of harvest. You were able to eat while you were in the field working, picking the fruit. You could eat the fruit. He's the first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all of these things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. This is the heart of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. Remember the resurrection. Without that, we have no gospel. And so he's encouraging him to come back to the heart of the gospel. And you find that everywhere they went, the center message, the thing that made Christianity different from Buddhism or Confucianism or any other religious system, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so he's reminding him of that unique difference in Christianity. Wherein he said, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto these bonds, these chains. But thank God the word of God isn't bound. They can bind me. They can bind my arms to this soldier next to me, to this guard, but they can't bind the word of God. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So I endure these things because God has elected certain people to be saved. And if by my sacrifice, by my commitment, I can bring them the knowledge of Jesus Christ, great. My desire is to see the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, that they might share the eternal glory of a child of God. So, in another place he said, I know that the present suffering isn't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed when Christ comes. Oh, yeah, it's hard now. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. It's not easy. There's suffering. But it can't be compared with the glory, the eternal glory. So he said, our light affliction. Light affliction, Paul? Let's see, you say once you were stoned, three times you were beaten with rods, three times you received 39 stripes. You were shipwrecked. You were beat up. You were in prison how many times? Light affliction, Paul? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Interesting contrast. Light affliction for a moment. Eternal weight of glory. So endure hardness as a good soldier. Don't get all entangled in worldly things. Seek to please the one who has called you to be a good soldier. It's a faithful saying. It's a true saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. They're going to take my life pretty soon. That is, this physical life, but I'm going to be living with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign. If we deny, he also will deny. If we believe not, he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. There are some people who say rather pompously, well, I just don't believe in Jesus Christ. So what? You see, your believing or not believing doesn't alter the facts one iota. You may deny him, but he can't deny himself. That, you know, that would be impossible to deny your own existence. So you're saying, I don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, is like saying, I don't believe that 2 and 2 equals 4. I just look at you and think, you're a little nuts, but that's all right. You have your right to be. But you don't change the facts. Your believing or not believing doesn't alter the fact at all. The fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he did die for our sins, is a fact that remains whether you believe it or not. You see, your believing or not doesn't affect him at all. It does affect you, seriously, and for eternity. And so it is rather ridiculous to say, well, I don't believe it, and to think that it doesn't exist just because you don't believe it. You can deny the truth, but he can't deny it. He can't deny himself, what he is and what he has done. So if we don't believe, it's still true. He can't deny himself. So of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. All they do is subvert the hearers. There are those that get all involved in words and in little concepts and twists and all of a scripture, and they are really totally unprofitable. Do you know that the church was divided once over an argument on how many angels could stand on the head of a pin? People used to argue over that. And people have all these concepts. Oh, that's stupid. That's not going to help anybody. And you look at a lot of these things that people bring up and a lot of divisions that are created. How are you baptized, brother? You know, and
you weren't really baptized then, you know, and you better be baptized the right way. You were baptized backwards? Oh, no. That, face down, man. That's the only way.
You know, and they get in these silly little things and all it does is subvert people, subvert the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This particular scripture was the inspiration to Scofield in setting out the dispensations in the Scofield Bible, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think he went a little far with it, but it's interesting that this is the verse that inspired him to make the divisions, especially within the Scofield Bible, as he shows you the dispensation of innocence, the dispensation of government, the dispensation of law, the dispensation of grace, and the dispensation of, you know, the future reign of Christ and all, the dispensations, rightly dividing. But it is important that we rightly divide the word of truth. Study. It's important that we study. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. There are those who turn the grace of God into a cloak to cover their own lasciviousness. Well, if God is so ready to forgive and so full of grace, it really doesn't matter if we do it, because we can just ask him immediately to forgive us then, and it will, you know, he's graceful and it's all over. So let's go ahead and do it, and then we'll seek the grace of God to forgive us. No. These kind of vain and profane babblings only increase ungodliness. Paul himself said, shall we go out and sin freely then that grace may abound? Perish the thought. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? The grace of God is not an excuse or a cloak or a reason to go out and just to live recklessly saying, well, the grace of God will cover me. Profane, vain babbling.
Be careful of it. Their words will eat like a canker worm, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. I mean, Paul doesn't mind naming these fellows, does he? Oh, Paul, shame on you. I'm going to write you a letter. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses say the resurrection is already past, really. I mean, Jesus came again in 1914, didn't you know? Oh, but I thought every eye was going to see him. Oh, no, only those with the spiritual eyes, those who were living in the headquarters, and they saw him in New York, spiritually, with a spiritual eye. And he set up his reign in a secret chamber. And he is ruling now from the secret chamber through these men in New York. But we're in the kingdom age. Satan is bound. Glory to God. Hey, if this is the kingdom age, I'm greatly disappointed. I was hoping for much better than this. I wish the Lord had not put such a long chain on him. He still has enough rope to give me a bad time. Who have erred concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they subvert the faith of many people. They're turning a lot of people away to this weird little doctrine of theirs, drawing a lot of people after this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands. It stands sure. It has this seal. The Lord knows those that are His. The Lord knows those that are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you take the name of Christian, if you take the name of Christ, then depart from iniquity. The Lord knows those who are His.
Did you know that the Gospel of Luke is the only gospel written by a Gentile? As a physician and careful historian, Luke writes with remarkable detail, complying accurate, researched eyewitness accounts to present Jesus as the perfect man. In a culture searching for ideal humanity, Luke points us to the only one who truly fulfills that longing, Jesus Christ. Now you can explore this powerful gospel in depth with this Word for Today resource, a collection of 128 in-depth commentary messages from Pastor Chuck Smith. Each study walks you verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke, helping you better understand the life, ministry, and message of Jesus. This complete series comes in MP3 audio format on a convenient 8GB reusable flash drive, perfect for listening at home, in the car, or wherever you go. Grow in your understanding of who Jesus is and what that means for your life. Order your copy today at TWFT.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. The Gospel of Luke, discovering the perfect man, Jesus Christ. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord watch over you and keep you in His love, in His grace. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work for Jesus Christ. And may the Lord grant to you new dimensions of relationship with Him, that you might become more keenly aware of His presence with you and His power to help you. May God bless you. May you have just a fruitful, blessed week walking with Jesus Christ.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Timothy on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673. Or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Timothy 1 through 2. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.